Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we have the Master Gardeners out at Artavino's Desert Crossing every Saturday. So what have the Master Gardeners grown, or what are they growing that they'll eventually have at the market?
So they are finishing up selling their garlic that they grew this fall through the winter. And then they're also selling their loofah sponges.
Oh, the loofahs, yes.
If you will. So all of these were grown last year and they kind of let them sit over winter and they're nice and ready to go. And they're just the teaser for the main crop of the season. And those are our tomatoes. I think Master Gardeners seem to be really popular when it comes down to the tomato booth out at Artavino's. So they're coming in slowly but surely. So keep an eye out on them the next time you're at the farmer's market.
And the farmer's market, again, is at Artavino's Desert Crossing there in Sunland Park, New Mexico. It's pretty easy to find if you take Sunland Park south of the freeway to McNutt. And I know there's a lot of construction that may be putting off a lot of people, but Saturday mornings, not a lot of traffic. The market's, what, from 7:30 to noon?
Yeah, it sure is. So the earlier you get there, the better selection you get.
And the cooler it's going to be.
And the cooler it is, exactly. So take your family and your pets. It's also a pet-friendly market.
So. Yeah, so no construction is affecting the route to Artavino's.
No. Just plan your day early.
Absolutely. Well, today, speaking of produce that the Master Gardeners have been trying to grow, getting ready for tomato season, there are a lot of tomatoes being grown here in El Paso by a lot of our residents. So I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls about tomato problems.
Right, exactly. So we get a lot of samples submitted into the county office and we take a look at them and, you know, determine what kind of issue it's having. Is it a pest issue? Is it actual pathogen issue as well? And, you know, for the most part, you know, we look at it and we don't have a pathology lab. We'd have to send that out. But it's kind of, you know, the plants are telling us a story, and then if you have a homeowner to be able to fill in the gaps on that, it's really easy to kind of paint the picture on that. So a lot of times people start seeing their leaves having problems. It's the first thing that you see on your tomatoes. And a lot of times you start seeing issues, whether that's a curling issue or is that, you know, some kind of splotches or dark spots on there. And every distinct pathogen is going to have its own visual cues on that. So it's kind of important to be able to talk to homeowners on what their cultural practices are, and then we can kind of go from there. One of the biggest things that we're starting to see are a lot of almost like water-soaked lesions on the leaves themselves.
How does that express itself on the leaf?
Well, it usually starts on the older leaves on there, and it's kind of like a little round, dark brown circle on there, and then eventually the center kind of turns gray. And that
does it sort of thin out, or
it doesn't really thin out, but it almost looks like your plants are like kind of like soaking in water, and then that dark spot's kind of like soggy, if you will. So those are a lot of issues of maybe a fungus might be attacking your plants. And it's kind of easy to be able to remediate if you need to be able to do that. And a lot of things are what we're doing on our own. So you don't really want to kind of have your fungal spores airborne. So the best way to do that is to kind of get the water to be directly on the soil and not on the leaves.
So you don't want to be getting up like a watering can and directly watering right over those leaves.
Right, exactly. Because essentially there are those fungal spores that are sitting in the soil. They kind of splash onto the neighboring leaves. And then that's what's going to spread that infection as well. So kind of keep an eye on that and, you know, don't water on the leaves. And then also applying a nice mulch also kind of buffers that soil level as well and kind of keeps whatever spores are down there. But there's a lot of different fungicides on the market that people are able to use and to be able to treat their leaves as well.
I would assume a fungus would be more white than brown. So yes, maybe that would be causing some confusion with some tomato growers.
Right, exactly. And that's why you have to look at it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff written on tomatoes because it's like the number one popular vegetable crop that's grown. But yeah, so some fungus issues have that brownish color, if you will. But also bacteria issues have that as well. So, you know, there's the bacterial speck is one of them that are also dark brown lesions, but they have like almost like a little yellow halo around the lesion itself, and that's a bacteria. So you want to make sure that you treat that different than you would a fungus. So there's a lot of online tools that we have through our Aggie Horticulture site, but if anybody is interested and wants to know exactly what's going on, we can certainly help you determine that issue. We just need a fresh plant sample to be able to take that in, and you can preserve that in a nice little Ziploc bag. Don't let it sit or cook out in your hot car for very long, but take that sample into the office and we'll be able to look at that for you.
So I would guess people might have concerns that if, of course, it's an edible crop, so people might have concerns with, well, if I add this to my plant, whatever treatment that you may encourage to eliminate the problem, if it might affect their tomatoes.
Right, exactly. So once we explain to people what's affecting their plant and maybe some of the things that they're doing that they can kind of fix on their own, like such as the watering or the mulching, they kind of seem to be more tolerant of that because they know exactly what's going on and then they're able to make that corrective action on their own. And it all comes down to your personal tolerance. A lot of times if you're eating edible crops, you don't want to put on a lot of chemicals on there. And if you do, you want to pick those gentle chemicals on there. So, you know, it's really up to the individual homeowner on what they want to pursue. But a lot of times they say, okay, I know what's going on. I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to overhead watering. And then they're okay with it. And then they know that for the next season. So it's just a continuous learning process on that. That's where they're at on that. But then we also get issues on our individual fruit or our tomato plants. And sometimes we see a lot of cracking coming on the plant itself. And it kind of looks like a star. You kind of look at the tomato plant and you look at that center portion and the kind of the cracks come out on the side. And a lot of that has to do with the fluctuations in the moisture. So it gets a lot of irrigation at one time and then you forget about it or you turn off your sprinkler system and then it gets dry. So that wet and dry cycle is really what's going to cause a lot of that cracking on there because the plant cells are just trying to multiply, expand, and then
I'm guessing they multiply really quickly too, right?
Right, so. Exactly. And they really do that as they're greening up and they're putting on their fruit set on there. And then they're going to go into the stage of putting on their color.
But that cracking doesn't really affect the tomato itself, right? It's just more of a visual issue. It's not really going to destroy your tomato.
Right, exactly. It's just not going to look pretty and you may not win any kind of produce contest. But it's not going to affect the taste or the quality of the plant. It's just not going to look nice.
Is that what's called blossom end rot or is that something totally different?
Yeah, blossom end rot is totally different.
Okay.
Blossom end rot is a combination of some mineral issues, some like mineral deficiency issues, coupled with water stress. So really what blossom end rot is looking at is the calcium in the soil or when the plant needs it itself. And it's kind of interesting because our soils tend to be calcareous. And you think, oh, well, we have plenty of calcium in there that we shouldn't have an issue. Well, it's just a matter of when the fruit is starting to develop. And if that calcium is in its available form, that the plant can easily take up. So a lot of times what you see on blossom end rot is actually at the blossom end of the fruit. So not where it's attached to the vine, but on the completely other opposite side on that, you start seeing like a dark spot or a dark kind of misshapen, necrotic kind of unsightly.
Rotish.
Visual. Yeah, it does look right. It looks, yeah,
like
the name
rot.
Is rot. Exactly. So as long as you have all of your nutrition balanced out on that, the calcium, the nitrogen on there, and then, of course, the water stress, you should be able to eliminate some of those effects of the blossom end rot. The same thing goes along with that. Just cut off the portion that has the blossom end rot, and your plant is good to go. It's delicious.
So the master gardeners, what kind of calls have you been getting the most about tomatoes? Has there been one problem in particular that seems to be plaguing most people?
Yeah, well, I was visiting with a lot of master gardeners earlier this week, and we were talking about the tomato crop and how that's coming in a little slower than what we're usually used to seeing. And we were talking about our interesting spring that we had that, if we remember, kind of got really warm early on in the spring, and then our temperatures dipped and they kind of stayed, you know, quite mild for a while. And I always associate a lot of things with holidays. And I clearly remember that our Memorial Day weekend was not as hot as it normally is. And while there's a lot of fruit or a lot of tomatoes on the vine at this point, they're just not there yet, meaning they're not starting to turn color and mature. So they're a little slower than what we thought. You know, usually it kind of starts peaking at the 4th of July weekend and seeing that we're right around that corner at this time. So just be patient. And, you know, a lot of times it's good to have, you know, this problem. At least we're having the fruit set. At least we're having, you know, those big green tomatoes that are still on the vine, but still the season is long and those are going to, you know, mature up and, you know, be in your on your kitchen table before you know it.
So I know insects are also an issue for tomato growers.
Yes, we see a lot of issues on our tomato leaves as well. And sometimes it's a whole smorgasbord of different different pests attaching that. So look out for things like aphids on the underside of the leaves. Look for webbing on as far as spider mites on your plants itself. And then as the weather's starting to heat up, we're going to start seeing a lot of white flies. So kind of keep an eye on that. And if your plant is in an overall healthy state, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. You know, make sure that you give them enough space to circulate, for the air to circulate on there, and reduce that moisture on the leaves of their plants. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do to be able to kind of suppress that pest population to begin with. So first thing you got to do is know what's affecting your plant. Once we diagnose that and we identify that, then we can certainly have that course of treatment or action to be able to ensure that you have a plentiful tomato crop.
And I think with this extreme heat that we've been seeing in the region, all this triple-digit heat, probably people's tomatoes are probably blossoming, mm-hmm. but they're not going to be seeing any actual tomatoes
right.
growing out of that.
Exactly. And that's pretty much because our tomato plants are going to turn off between when that temperature hits 92 degrees Fahrenheit. You'll have that bloom, but you won't have that fruit set. So if you were one of the folks that kind of put your tomatoes out a little bit later, you may have a lot of green growth, a lot of nice branching, a lot of great leaf expansion, but no fruit set. And that's really what happened, is that window of time is kind of gone. So we can do a couple of things. You can wait it out and have a really great fall crop mm-hmm. coming in, but there's no magic cure on that. It's the tomato's just going to like turn off and say, I'm not going to risk it. It's going to get too hot so that yeah. I can set this fruit. So
we brought a nice bag of tomatoes here with you to the studios right now, and I'm going to have a picture of a few of them
wonderful.
That I left behind after eating a good amount. But I'll go ahead and post that. And those are from the Master Gardener's own test garden?
Yes, they are from the Master Gardener's gardens. And there's a couple of different ones that you have there. You'll have the Juliet, which is almost like a little mini Roma tomato. It kind of can pass by as a cherry tomato, uh-huh. if you will. It has a really great thin skin, but it's really a really tasty tomato. And then I also brought for you the Tycoon tomato, which is released by Texas A&M. And that's going to be a determinate tomato, which means it kind of just gets to a certain height and it kind of peaks out. You know, after one season, it's not going to be continuous throughout the entire season. But it's a great tomato. It's about maybe half a pound in size. It can get. It's really difficult to find them locally. So if you're in the tomato hunting season, check out the Master Gardeners in the springtime, because they sell Tycoon tomatoes as part of their summer vegetable plant sale.
So check them out at Artovino's on Saturdays.
Exactly.
And hopefully our talk about tomatoes hasn't turned off a lot of people. Oh my gosh, it's too complicated, too many problems. Just try it. And if you have any problems, you'll know exactly what those problems are by listening to the show or by calling the Master Gardeners at 771-2354, 771-2354. And we're also going to have a link on our website for tomato problem shooting. So that's going to be linked there. If you have any other questions, go to our website, ktep.org, and visit the Good to Grow page. I want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing this show. I want to thank you for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.